Who got it right? Who got it way wrong? Sorting it all out with you. Hear about it first. Talk about it now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Well, good morning and welcome. Yeah, you hear that music, you know that the weekend is here. And oh yeah, you're listening to The Bob Rowe Show, brought to you by Hayes Jeweler at 908. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. For the answer is always yes. And that's what we are doing. We are kicking off the weekend, although we have to go to our Sky Storm Watch. Brought to you by Clay Electric Cooperative, Radiant Credit Union, Tri-County Metals, and Conrad Tree Service. To remind you, Fred is he's still depressed. That's right. It is still a tropical depression, but could turn back into a tropical storm as the day goes over. Been going over the north side of Cuba earlier this morning, and so it looks like now gets over water, builds a little bit. So, again, it's probably going to be just a big rain event for those of us in north central Florida. Wind and storm surge, really not a huge issue, but, man, the state is saturated. Yes. And so, especially for folks who are on the coast, even more so, any wind and more rain, be aware of trees are going to be an issue. That can be a problem. So just be careful out there. We'd love to keep you up to date on what is going on, not only around the country, but locally and around our state. And to help us out just a little bit with that, we say good morning to our very own Florida State Senator Keith Perry. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Well, we are living the dream. I'm like, hey, I'm sitting in the Bob Lounger today, you know, being Bob Rose. Does it get any better than that?
Yeah, it does, because Bob's on vacation, so he's got it better than you. But
Great perspective. I'll tell you, Nick and I were just lamenting on the show this morning. There are two words that are in our daily stories, in our daily news, in our daily life. We are just so tired of hearing about vaccinations and masks. Yet, we see it at the national level with, Fauci and the president. They're kind of trying to put it off on states and corporations and businesses and schools. What's the view from Tallahassee on how that affects us here in Florida and what's really going on?
Yeah, and I think why this is so much conversation on this is simple, and that is the fact that we have government trying to intrude in our lives. Mm-hmm. If government gave us information, if government provided us with the data that we could believe in and trust, then I don't think we'd have these conversations, because what we would do is we would allow individuals to make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. But the point now is that the government is intruding, and whether that's in on a local level with the school boards or the city, the school boards are mandating masks on kids and on teachers. The city is mandating vaccines, and so that's why I think this is taking all the oxygen out of the room. And it's unfortunate, because there's so many issues that we need to be looking at and addressing. But unfortunately, those are dominating. Mm-hmm. And so people ask me all the time my opinion on this, and I ask them, how much control do you want me to have over your life? Wow. And that's a fundamental question. We swore an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution, the Florida Constitution, and that limits our powers. I think the problem that we have is crises, either real or perceived, people tend to more easily give up their rights to government.
Yep.
And we've seen that over the history of the United States. Once those rights are given up, they're very hard to get back. So, but back in, here locally, I'm in Gainesville. I won't be back in Tallahassee until the third week of September, when we start back in committee meetings. But I've had lots and lots of, as you can imagine, people calling me about these masks. Mm-hmm. And on kids, and I've even had teachers. I had a teacher in my office who came in, who resigned after 26 years, just put her resignation, says, I teach English. A young African-American lady who said, I'm not, I teach English. I need to be able to communicate. And it's she doesn't like that she had to wear them, or kids. Mm-hmm. 26 years,
wow.
She says, I'm not doing anymore, and resigned. I have another teacher that called me up, was going to resign. I don't know that he ever did. And then certainly I have a lot of parents, and I have both sides. Some say that we should mandate. Most parents that I'm hearing from are just frustrated and upset that their kids would have to be required. Right. As young as, we're talking about kindergarten kids.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and you've got this whole push right now. The American Academy of Pediatrics, they've got a campaign going on with tweets of telling us why we should have our five-year-old sitting in school all day with masks. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not going to slow their development. It's not going to slow their learning. So there's an agenda going on. And then you've got, even with Florida, the CDC numbers that they took 2 or 3 days' worth of numbers from last weekend, rolled them into 1 day. Florida says, hey, that's not right. It was double, but they negotiated it down to only a third too high.
Yeah, negotiate. How do you think that happen? And negotiate it?
How does that happen?
Yeah. And that's the issue. And I think even now there may be out there, and I've encouraged people to provide this. I have not gotten any studies to date on the benefits of a child wearing a mask. None.
Right.
Now, we've had parents in Gainesville that came to me, some concerned moms. They took masks. After 1 day of use, they collected the mask.
Mm-hmm.
They sent them off to a laboratory, and the results came back, and I've got the data someplace they sent me of all the bacteria
right.
and growth in these masks. By the way, let me know, you know, that we're dealing with a virus that is submicroscopic, which means you cannot see it with a microscope. You can see it with an electron microscope. And if you think about the size of it, so I've looked at this, done some research, that anthrax is 10 to 50 times larger than the coronavirus.
Wow.
Insecticides are 5 to 1,000 times larger than the coronavirus. Now, let me ask you a question. You tent your house. You're tending it for termites.
Mm-hmm.
If your kid had to go in there and get something or wanted to go in the house, would you say, well, yeah, just put your mask on? Put your little cotton mask on and go in the house that's tinted with insecticides that are 5 to 1,000 times larger in diameter.
No.
Well, you would never do that.
No, you wouldn't.
Yet we don't have any studies, but we're looking at these masks and, oh, yeah, they absolutely work.
Wow, that's crazy.
I don't think so.
Well, and I know you're kind of short on time. One thing that I know that is probably going to affect a lot of folks when it comes into this controversy of what we're being made to do, and there was that parental bill of rights. Maybe explain briefly what that is and how maybe those rights are being stepped on right now.
Sure. So last year we passed, it was House Bill 241, entitled the Parental Bill of Rights, and it prohibited the state, you know, from infringing on the rights of parents mm-hmm. and directing of their education, health care, and mental health care of any minor child. And so that required the schools to adopt policies to make sure that the parents were involved in all the decision makings of their children, and it gave them, it clearly stated that the parents had rights over their child, not the state. The state's rights were very limited and given those to the parents. So that is clearly, and what we did is we took some that was already in statutes, some that was not, and we kind of rolled it into one area that made it really easy, accessible. Mm-hmm. And I think that's being violated on a multiple of fronts here. And I tell you what, I think that, and I've talked to parents, if you think about right now with a push and the mandates coming down, that we may look at expanding this and making it even universal school vouchers, where every single parent in the state of Florida with a child would have a choice on where their kid went to school and be uninhibited. Now, I know there's some controversy we could probably spend, and I'd like to talk again about that on the real details of the financial issues of that. It would actually potentially could save the state a lot of money, but we could talk about all those things. But I think the push, if parents keep being pushed on this, you're going to see legislators like mm-hmm. myself say, no, we're going to look at expanding this and taking control, letting school districts control their own policies and stuff, letting parents decide whether they want to be involved in that school district.
Well, and I think you just hit on the big thing right there, and we've seen that with the whole critical race theory. Just as an example, parents, I think, are finally waking up that they need to know and not just necessarily trust their local school boards and their school districts as to what they're teaching their kids. They need to get there and find out what it is, because we've seen stories over and over, things happening in classes, parents, teachers telling kids, here's what we're doing today, but don't tell your parents. Those kinds of things are going on. You've got rules, you've got regulations, you've got things being taught that parents would not agree with. And so I think the key right there as you wrap it up is, hey, parents, get involved in your child's school.
They absolutely need to be involved now on local elections.
Yep.
But I think this is a broader discussion that's going to be taking place, mm-hmm. and I think there's going to be some push. Hey, one last thing, if I got just a minute to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to talk about COVID treatments right now, and I'm sure a lot of this is already out there in the news, but I took a tour of a major hospital, mm-hmm. And we were in the MIC unit for where the COVID cases were. This is a week ago, and I asked the doctor in charge of that floor, I said, well, what, these are people who are going to probably not make it. The MICU is, mm-hmm. is a place where a lot of people never get out of there. I said, what medicines are you using to treat the patients? None. And I said, none? He goes, well, none of them are scientifically approved to treat COVID.
Now,
They're going to die. Now, this is happening today. Now, I know the governor just shipped out, I can't remember what it was, the monoclonal antibodies or something else that he may have shipped to these hospitals that they're not using. This was for me to hear that. I was thinking, are the families waiting in the lobby realize that their loved ones are not getting any care because they're not FDA approved? They're FDA approved drugs, but they're not FDA approved for coronavirus. Now, the same government is wanting to mandate that we use a vaccine that is not FDA approved.
Mm-hmm.
It's approved on an emergency basis, but not use other drugs that have been out there for multiple years. I just have a text from a good friend. This is going on today in Gainesville, in this area and around the state. Good friend texted me. He had a nurse friend who got very sick from COVID. She knew that she wasn't going to get the treatment locally in Gainesville at the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband took her down to the Ocala Hospital. She received the ivermectin.
I pronounce it wrong every time, too.
Yeah, ivermectin.
Yeah.
And 2 days later, she's released from the hospital. She's doing fine.
I hear stories like that all the time. Yep.
This is unconscionable action that there are stuff out there that we are letting people, not treating people.
Yep.
And then it's crazy. This is the world has gone crazy. I'm telling you what, I'm looking at every option I have. When we get back in Tallahassee, I've been meeting with fellow senators to talk about, what are we going to do long term to fight this kind of stuff? I think it's an unfortunate situation that we're in as a nation. That we have this emotional, I keep getting accused of not being data-driven, science-driven. I find it absolutely the opposite in most cases, that we have people who won't take that advice. They accuse us of it, but they won't do it. So this is a situation going on right now, right in our own community, and it needs to be pointed out. I'm glad you have me on your show to talk about some of this.
Well, we will, of course, follow up throughout the season here. And, of course, once you get back to Tallahassee, we need those stories to be spread so that people and families know these things are going on and also treatment that's not going on and the hypocrisy between those medications which are proven but not approved for this particular thing versus what we're being told to take, which has no long-term proof at all. So, Senator Keith Perry, as always, thanks for taking some time out and being on the Bob Rowe Show. We appreciate it.
You bet. Take care.
Well, we've all heard those stories locally. We know that it happens. But when you think about that diversity of, this is not approved for this, even though we've been giving it out for 40 years, but this thing we've had out for 18 months, we want everybody to take. Little discrepancy there? I would say so. We're at 9:21. You're listening to the Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. We are going to keep an eye on Fred. We'll see what he's up to. We'll do that next. 97.3 The Sky.
This is North Central Florida's morning news and talk station, 97.3 The Sky. Now, traffic and weather together.
South Waldo, 301, still on the scene of an earlier accident. There's a crash on the curve. Northbound traffic still being diverted in that spot. Waldo, US 301. Ocala, North 441, near Northwest 77th Street, still on the scene of an accident there. As officials are getting the getting things cleared up and a slight delay. Of course, when you spot a problem, give us a call, pass it on, 877-WSKY-TALK. Help everybody out.
All eyes on Fred in the tropics this weekend. Even though it will likely pass well to our west, it could bring heavy rain and potential flooding to the region, especially the second half of your weekend and from I-75 points west. But today, most areas dry, all areas hot, a high of 92, a heat index up to 102, slight chance of a shower after 3 p.m. From the UF Weather Center, I'm Jeff Hoffman.
Sunshine now, Gainesville 79, Ocala 79, and the Villages at 81. Traffic and weather together every 15 minutes. Mornings on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.